from The Athletics and the New York Rangers reporter, Rick Carpignello. And Rick, I'm interested to know why and how quickly the Rangers are able to turn this, or seemingly turn this thing around, when, what was it, 18 months ago or so, or 2 years ago, they said they're going to build this, break this down and build it up properly. And now here we are just signing Panarin, what is it, just over 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you for that walk-up music. I really like that.
That's my producer, Connor. I can't take credit. I'm off.
I was going to sing it, but I didn't think that would be a good idea.
Love it.
But you know what they did? They showed guts. You know, they showed guts by telling everybody they were going to do it. They showed guts in two consecutive trade deadlines by selling the hell out of their team. They, you know, every time, everybody who was to be an unrestricted free agent was traded, every single one of them, for 2 years. And they got something for every one of those guys. They got a lot for those guys. They got first-rounders. They got second-rounders. They got prospects. And then they cleared cap space to get Jason Trouba and Artemi Panarin. So, you know, what they did, you know, they needed a little luck to get Kako. They needed to hit the lottery, and they did. And I think it's guts. I think Jeff Gorton, the GM, showed, you know, what a lot of GMs are afraid to do. And they were still on the edges of a playoff spot when they started cleaning house. And not many GMs will do that. And of course, you have to have the blessing of the owner, that he wasn't going to get fired if they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, and might be three, and who knows. But, you know, he did, and he got the blessing, and he had the guts to do it, and they've done it very well.
How much did it change when they got Kaapo Kakko, as you mentioned, a very lucky pick in the lottery? Did that change things or pick up the pace of maybe what they were going to do this summer?
Yeah, I think that changed. Especially, you know what it did more than anything? It brought more patience from the fan base.
Okay.
Because the fan base just totally changed its feelings on where they were going with this rebuild when they got a guy like Kakko. Because they haven't had a guy like Kakko since Yager. And Yager was certainly not in his prime when he was a Ranger, and you know that.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
They haven't had a guy like that. They haven't drafted a guy like that in forever. And, you know, maybe Alex Kovalev was the last guy they drafted like that. So I think that changed the whole taste, the whole belief in what was going on here. I know they planned on being active in free agency this year. And, I knew that Panarin was on their radar, and I didn't know they were going to go so hard after Trouba, and they did. But, you know, we did know that whether they got Kakko or whether they ended up picking ninth, they were going to be looking to accelerate the rebuild. But Kakko, getting Kakko and then accelerating the rebuild with Panarin and Trouba really changed things, I think.
Rick Carpignello joins us from The Athletic, breaking down the New York Rangers, who had one hell of a last 5 months, in my humble opinion. Outside of Kakko, can you give us some names of young players that you would expect to have a big impact on the team, whether it's this season or next season, that are already signed and or drafted by this group?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they brought over their three of their top prospects that were playing in Russia, and they signed all three of them this summer. So I think Vitaly Kravtsov is probably there's no question he's the most significant of them, and I think he'll probably make the team right out of camp. The others are a goalie, Igor Shesterkin, who is probably going to go to the AHL to start his career, and defenseman Yegor Rykov, who will also probably start in the AHL, I would think. Then, you know, you look down the road a little bit, they've got Keandre Miller at the University of Wisconsin, who took huge strides as a freshman last year. And he's only been playing defense for a couple of years. He started, I think, in 2015. So there, he's a real top prospect. But, you know, before they got Kakko, Kravtsov was their top prospect. And he's here. So, and then they have the kids from the last couple of years, Philip Hedl, Elias Anderson, Brett Howden. They've got a defenseman, Tony DeAngelo. They traded for Adam Fox. Libor Hayek, the guy they got in the McDonough trade, is going to be here this year. So, you know, there's a lot of names, a lot of young faces. They're going to have bumps, and they're going to have hiccups this year because they're going to have a very, very young team.
Rick, when you look at the back end, I feel fairly confident suggesting that Brady Ski and Jacob Trouba will be in your top four. Who are the other top four guys as you see them? Let's assume training camp started tomorrow.
I think they certainly need to do work here, and I think Mark Stahl and Tony D'Angelo is probably going to be the second pair, and Libor Hayek and Adam Fox will probably be the third pair. So, okay. I think they would love it if Hayek and Fox took a step up and were good enough to play second pair right away, but I think that's unrealistic for young defensemen. Hayek has 5, I think, NHL games, and Fox has none. So, Stahl and D'Angelo they were the number one pair last year.
Yeah, right.
and they shouldn't have been, and I think they did admirably well playing against the guys that they had to play against as a shutdown pair, but they shouldn't be the number one pair, and nor should they probably be the number two pair at this point. But the Rangers are going to have to live with that and wait for more of the kids to arrive next year.
Rick Carbonello joins us from The Athletic, breaking down the New York Rangers. We get texts all the time here on the show at 10-12-60 about Chris Kreider. Is there a desire to move him out, who's at 465 million as an UFA at 28 years of old?
I think it's inevitable that they will move him at some point during the season, at the deadline, or perhaps before the season. They're not moving him to dump his salary. That's obvious.
Okay, good.
4.65, whatever it is, they can live with that this year. But the reason they'll move him is because on the free agent market, he gets 7 years, probably $7-plus million per. And I don't think they want to pay that to a guy who's going to be 28, or I think he's going to be 29, actually, when he gets to free agency. He's a tremendous physical specimen, and he probably will play until he's 35 and probably will play fairly well until he's 35. But I don't think they want to give him 7 times 7. And therefore, I expect, as they did with all their other free agents the last 2 years, they'll try to get a first rounder for him.
And what's the timing look like on that? Is it like best deal, wait till the end, or is that a guy that they want to move out sooner, or they want to keep him as long as they can to help insulate some of these other guys you've already outlined, the youth?
Yeah, I don't think they have a timetable or a deadline, because as you said, if he's here, he certainly helps some of the kids. He's a great guy. He's a good leader. He has good relationships with those guys. He also speaks Russian, which is kind of a really helpful thing with all these Russian kids playing this year. If they get a great deal for him right now, they'll do it. And if they get a great deal for him in November, they do that. Most likely, your best deal when you're talking about getting draft picks and prospects usually come at the deadline, as the Rangers have learned over the last 2 years. So I would suspect that the deadline would be the more likely scenario.
And we can't have a conversation about the Rangers without talking about Henrik Lundqvist, who it seems like he's been the goalie there for the last 20 years. What does his workload look like at 2 more years, 37 years old, especially with young Alexander Grigorev and what he's accomplished?
Yeah, that's the big question right now. And to further complicate it, the kid who came over, Igor Shesterkin, has been seen as his heir apparent. For a couple of years now, and so you can't have Georgiev and Shesterkin in the minors for 2 years.
Sure.
I think both of them have to be on an NHL roster somewhere. So I think Lundqvist's certainly going to get the shot to be the number one goalie again. I don't think he's going to get 60 games, but he's probably going to get 50 or 45. And Georgiev's good enough to play in the NHL, and he's proven that already. Maybe if Lundqvist looks good enough to play another year, maybe they trade Georgiev and get something for him. But it's going to be an interesting year to watch him, because last year was a very, very difficult year for Lundqvist. He was very frustrated at the end of the season. He lost his he even admitted that he wasn't the better of the two goalies down the stretch, and that Georgiev should be playing. So I think this is a big bounce back for him, knowing him and knowing how hard he works and how competitive he is, I expect he'll come in to camp and have a great start. And then we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting situation because he's been so good for that organization so long. A good human, a good leader, like never an issue, always just doing the right thing, always, you know, trying his hardest. But there, you know, and he's a former teammate, but there is, you know, sooner or later, you got to start looking along. And I actually think the Rangers are in a bit of a tough spot here, whether it's this year or next year, with how this is all handled with the King. Is that even something people even whispering about? Or is it like, no, he's going to be fine and we'll just close our eyes?
They're not really talking about it, but they know, know that it's going to be very awkward next year. I mean, if they could get by this year with Shesterkin playing in Hartford and Lundqvist and Georgiev even splitting the games. But then next year, what do you do? He's got the $8.5 million and the no trade clause, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. It's a very sticky situation, and you know Henrik, you know him better than I do, and I know him pretty well. He's a very proud guy. He's very, very competitive. He's very smart, and he's hardworking. And I think that as difficult as the decision is going to be for the Rangers to make, I think it's going to be as difficult or more difficult on him.
Yeah, I remember when he came in that first training camp. I had no idea who he was. And listen, I'm not a hockey buff. And I remember him starting to play. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And why can't we not score? Well, not me, but why can't everyone else not score enough, right? And he just started taking a bigger role and a bigger role. And all of a sudden, he was just unbelievable. Yeah. And he's never really stopped being that competitive and a good goalie. There were times he was amazing, but he's been a good goalie for a long time. And, you know, he deserves to be handled very correctly, but it all comes to a head, and it's going to be very interesting how that plays out over the next 2 years, I guess.
Yeah, and as you said, they have to handle it correctly because his number is going to go up in the rafters.
100%.
And you know, he's one of the greatest Rangers ever, whether he wins the cup or not. And he's going to be looked at that way, and you know, you do have to handle it gently and correctly, and you can't do anything negative to him. You can't. You can't embarrass them. You can't. It's. I don't know how they're going to handle this, and it's. You know, it's just a difficult situation.
Well,
and by the way, if I may say this, I've been doing this since 1978 on this team since JD was playing.
Okay,
And I missed like 2 years, and those were the years you were here.
What? Oh, two of the highlights of those years.
Those are the best years in franchise history.
You know, well, you give me your email, and I'm going to send you all my highlights of those 2 years, so you can sit back and you can enjoy them all.
I did see them. I just wasn't there for them.
Well, it probably took you a long time. I'm surprised you had time for this interview. But Rick, I love being a Ranger. I absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it. The city, it's a tough place to play in some ways, but it's absolutely amazing. The fans are just embrace you. They want effort. You know, they always ask me, what do Ranger fans want? Do they want skill and flash? I'm like, I think there's a part of that, but they want you to give a good effort. If you gave it a good effort and showed up, they were satisfied. They didn't love that you lost, but that's to me. Have I got the right read? You've been around that team a lot longer than me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and you were there. Were you there the year after the lockout?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fell in love with that team because that team worked so hard and got back in, right? They'd been out for so long. They'd been out of the playoffs for all those years. And you guys put on an effort for them. And, I think they really started to fall back in love with the team that year, and probably because of you.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie. You know what? I'll tell you, as we're joined by Rick Carpinello, we're reminiscing about the Rangers. But the lockout was 04-05, and we came in there. And Tom Rennie came in, and they brought in a bunch of guys that were, misfits a little bit, like misfit toys. Mm-hmm. And I remember before the season, Adam Graves came in, and he talked to us, and he said, guys, you know what? No one expects anything from you guys, but there's something in here, and you owe it to the city of New York to give your best effort and to compete every night. And I'll never forget about, like, I didn't know Adam Graves. I mean, I idolized him growing up. But here's this guy I idolized, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. And I guess everyone took it to heart, and Tom Rennie got us going in it, and Glenn Sather was there. And you're right. That was one of the favorite teams I played on because we barely squeaked in at the end, and we got spit out in four games, but we didn't even care. We were it was such a turn. And I feel, not to be cocky, but I feel that team started this last run of whatever number of years it's been until the last couple of years of just good, strong hockey teams with that type of culture.
I agree with you 100%. And that team was really got the fans turned around. And speaking of that, how about Adam Graves? How great is he?
Oh, he's an amazing guy. I was like, you know what, I'll do anything. I'll go and do anything you need me to do. And you know what? But it was such a neat, interesting story and moment. Yeah. And I think of that moment often when I think of the Rangers and what they've done. So
absolutely.
Rick, we're going to talk to you again. And I'm going to get your email. I'm going to send you all those highlights because I think my mom has them all, my mom and dad. And we'll get you all caught up on what you missed.
I've got a couple of days to kill.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks very much for having me.